Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 11:05 here on KMBZ on a Thursday. So we mentioned this before the news at the top of the hour. We've done a little more digging. We're going to play you some audio out of this news conference. But again, New York starting an effort to dissolve the National Rifle Association, which, let that sink in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, five million members, they say.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, I mean, you go back not that long into history, you go back 10 years, and the National Rifle Association was one of the most powerful organizations on the planet that didn't run a country. You know what I mean? It's like you said, I mean, just the membership numbers alone are impressive, and the amount of money that they had, but no longer have, is, well, part of this lawsuit, as a matter of fact, and it's also why now may be the time when all of this happened. You know, why the state of New York decided that now is the time to go after the National Rifle Association, because frankly, they're not anywhere near as powerful as they had been.
So we'll play for you. It's the Attorney General of the state of New York that did this news conference. I believe it's still going, but it started at about 10:30 this morning, making this announcement. Again, there had been a heads up earlier today that some kind of big event, big news conference was coming out of New York. And this is it. This is how it sounded.
At least it would be.
My office filed a lawsuit against the National Rifle Association to dissolve the organization in its entirety. For years of...
Okay, apparently we're having some technical difficulties with that. Let's try that again, shall we?
Has filed a lawsuit against the National Rifle Association to dissolve the organization in its entirety for years of self-dealing and illegal conduct that violate New York's charities law and undermine its own mission.
Again, that's Letitia James, the Attorney General of the state of New York, eventually.
And so I think that's all we got there. So this is what now all the stories are out, and we'll talk about NRA funding here in a second. And yeah, some of you were texting, and we can chat about this if you want to weigh in. 5767798. Some of you were texting in 913-576-7798. So the lawsuit was filed today. I've just got the NPR version here. So it comes following an 18-month investigation that found evidence the powerful gun rights group is fraught with fraud and abuse. She claims in a lawsuit that she found financial misconduct in the millions of dollars and that it contributed to a loss of more than $64 million over a three-year period. And again, the suit alleges that the top NRA executives, and I believe, yes, Wayne LaPierre has mentioned, misused charitable funds for personal gain, awarded contracts to friends and family members, and provided contracts to former employees to ensure loyalty. She has jurisdiction over the NRA because it is registered in New York. So she has the power to file this lawsuit. The NRA so far not commenting.
No, not officially, but
imagine that.
You know, you said Wayne LaPierre is mentioned. Not only is he mentioned, he's singled. There are three or four executives that are singled out in this. Now, again, the lawsuit itself is against the NRA, but they also go after members of the board. Wayne LaPierre has been the chairman of that board for 30 years now, and the allegations against him are stunning, including. One of the main allegations is that he gave himself a golden parachute, that he set up a $17 million, what they're calling a post-employment contract, which is a golden parachute. That's, you know, when you quit or, you know, when you resign the board or you retire or whatever, you got $17 million waiting for you. That's not illegal in and of itself. However, he did it without board approval. That is illegal. If you're the chairman of the board, you can't just invent that and not have the board vote on it. But the other thing that they said that he did is he funded that $17 million using charitable donations to the NRA to do it. And if that's true, that's not just lawsuit territory. That's legal. I mean, that is criminal legal punishment. Potentially, you know, again, presuming that the allegations are true against Wayne LaPierre, if that's the kind of thing that they're saying that he did. They also claim that LaPierre himself received more than $1.2 million in expense reimbursements over 4 years for things like giving gifts to friends, travel expenses, and memberships at golf clubs and hotels. They also allege that in and among this, that, again, charitable donations went into this and hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent on private plane trips, including for extended family, when he wasn't even there. Traveling to Africa with his wife on safari, gifted by an NRA vendor, and spent more than $3.6 million on luxury black car services. So he's getting free limos. Well, not free. Charitably funded limousine rides to the tune of $3.6 million for services and travel consultants over the last 2 years.
I mean, okay, so that's just him. We'll talk about the other three here in a sec. So in a generally, the lawsuit lists dozens of examples of alleged financial wrongdoing, including, like you said, the use of NRA funds for vacations, private jets, and expensive meals. Her office also said that the NRA's executive instituted a culture of self-dealing, mismanagement, and negligent oversight. The lawsuit seeks to dissolve the NRA in its entirety and asks the court to order LaPierre and other current and former executives to pay back unlawful profits. It also wants to remove LaPierre and Frazier, who is the general counsel, from the organization's leadership and prevent them from ever serving on the board of a charity in New York, which to me seems minor compared to what we're talking about. Not having to serve on a board seems like no big deal to me compared to some of the other stuff. Can I ask you a question, John? And if you don't know the answer, that's fine.
Sure.
So this is civil. This is a lawsuit.
Yep.
Based on what you've read so far, criminal? Are we talking about anything criminal? Theft?
I think this is the beginning of the story. And yes, it sounds like what they're doing is they're using this lawsuit to dissolve the NRA. And it doesn't say so, but I wouldn't be surprised for them to try to use some of the RICO laws, the organized crime laws, to do it, to say, look, there was so much fraud and so much criminal intent behind all of this that they effectively built a mafia type organization. They built a criminal organization out of the NRA. It wouldn't surprise me to see them try to build that case. However, I think what this is the first step toward criminal charges against Wayne LaPierre, criminal charges potentially against John Frazier. That sounds like where they're going with this. And again, I don't know. I don't know what the New York State Attorney General has in store for all of this. But how do you do that? And by the way, they also went, and I would love some more detail on this. In the allegation against Wayne LaPierre himself, check this line out. This, again, is from the NPR version of the story. Those that attempted to blow the whistle on this behavior, being the behavior of Wayne LaPierre that we just mentioned, the suit claims were retaliated against by LaPierre. I would love to know what that means. I mean, I know what it means. It means that, you know, people tried to turn him in.
Fired people that,
But what was that retaliation? Exactly. Yeah. So how extensive was that? And how many people are we talking about? Because it says those that attempted to blow the whistle, not the guy. Mm-hmm. So how many people were out there trying to blow in Wayne LaPierre to the board and ended up retaliated against. This is going to be an incredibly extensive series of events that they're going to have to lay out for us.
And let me tell you, they weren't in great financial shape before this. I mean, once upon a time, I thought the NRA was the best funded organization in the country. I mean, right up there with the, for retired persons, AARP.
AARP.
It was those two organizations that had more money than anybody else. I didn't realize that is no longer the case. Again, we're on the NPR story here. A secret recording of an NRA board meeting obtained by NPR in April showed LaPierre telling an audience that the NRA's legal troubles have cost the organization $100 million. And we're in an election year. And in 2016, the NRA spent tens of millions of dollars to support then-candidate Donald Trump. I don't know how much they've spent so far, but I don't know if any organization has topped that. But we're running into a presidential election, not a good time for the NRA to be out money. And you have to assume that at the very least, someone's going to freeze the NRA's assets until they figure all this out.
And put that in context, by the way, that secret recording that they mentioned in that, because by itself, what that tells you is that the NRA is in money trouble. Okay, if that was the only thing, if that had happened in a vacuum and somebody came up with a secret recording of Wayne LaPierre saying, hey, you know, we keep getting sued over this and that, and we're out $100 million now because of all of these lawsuits and all of these headaches that we've had to deal with. By itself, that's bad news. In the context of this story, where they're accusing Wayne LaPierre of looting the NRA to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, then all of a sudden that takes on a different context, a different connotation, because then you've got a guy telling his board, these lawsuits are costing us $100 million, while he was the one who may have, again, according to the state of New York, may have been responsible for the fact that that money went south. He just took it.
So some of you were texting in, and, you know, I get that the first place some of you go is liberal versus conservative, and that's the low-hanging fruit. I don't care to get into that. That's not what it's about. But some of you are texting in about your experience with the NRA. I have no experience with the NRA. I've never interacted with that organization. But if any of you do, 576-7798, and I need someone to help me with the implications of the NRA being dissolved.
Here's what I can give you. I can give you a response to this article that I just got from a very good friend of mine who is, among other things, a guy who runs a charitable organization. He's also a Vietnam veteran and a sufferer of PTSD. And I'm not telling stories out of school. I mean, that's part of the charity that he runs. And what he wrote was this, and I'm going to read this word for word. He says, I was a life member of the NRA. They taught me how to shoot. They taught me hunter safety. They promoted family outdoor recreational activities. Then Wayne LaPierre came on the scene and turned it into a hate group. He doesn't just have blood on his hands, he's soaked in it. I resigned my membership and haven't looked back. This is one of the most evil men on the planet. So again, from an insider, you know, from somebody at least who was a member, that's about as harsh as it gets.
So is it a loss for gun owners? If the NRA goes away, is it a loss to you? Do we need the NRA? I think is a question I'm asking. Somebody asked earlier, well, then the NRA just goes to a different state. It's not as simple as them moving. She dissolves the organization, and arguably some of the leadership is going to face some pretty serious legal trouble. So, and they're not going to have the money to just restart somewhere. They're already buried in legal fees. This is going to be huge in terms of legal fees. So it's not as simple as just picking up and moving to a different state like Texas, to the texter that suggested that. Is it a loss? Do we need the NRA? If it were to be dissolved, do you need another organization to replace it? And what does that organization need to look like? 576-7798. You can text in 913-576-7798. We'll get to your calls and your texts coming up after a break. Right now, 1118 here on KMBZ. The Attorney General of the State of New York has filed a lawsuit, ultimately with the goal of dissolving the National Rifle Association, talking about an 18-month investigation that uncovered fraud, misuse of funds, problems with the culture, and not just in the organization, but against some of its leadership members specifically.
Well, let's go to the phones. And if you want in on this, again, 576-7798, or you can text in at 913-576-7798. And you are, by the way. So keep that up as well. Well, we'll go to Ken in Smithville to kick off. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. No, the only comment I had was, I used to be a member of the NRA in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which manufacturer it was, came out with what was tagged as a cop killer bullet. It could penetrate Kevlar vests. And I had just started in with fire service. I'm retired now, but, they, on the civilian market, there is no need for a bullet that can penetrate body armor. There's no need for it. That's why it was called a cop killer bullet. Mm-hmm. And, many cops were my friends, good friends. And now they're selling something that can hurt them, that could kill my friends. I left the NRA because of that. And I'm not sure when LaPierre took over or whatever, and then as a member, they'd call you at least every other day wanting more money. And I was just kind of getting started, and getting my life built and put together. And last thing I needed to do is be giving away more money.
Well, I understand that, but let me ask you a couple of questions real quick. So that was those Teflon coated bullets, their support of that, that's what led you to quit?
Yes.
Now, yep. Are you any less, do you consider yourself any less a gun enthusiast than you were then?
Can you say that again? You kind of cut out.
Do you consider yourself any less a gun enthusiast than you were back then?
I love hunting, fishing. I love target shooting.
So you didn't change. They did.
They changed. Yes.
Okay. Got it.
In my mind, they changed when they promoted the Teflon-coated bullets.
Gotcha.
That would kill my friends, my cop friends. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's Ken. All I got to say about that.
Ken, thank you.
Ken, good comments.
Yes.
We appreciate
it. And nice job quoting Forrest Gump too. Thanks a lot for getting in. Now I think that's where a lot of people are. I think what we're seeing on the text line is two very different opinions on this. One is what Ken just espoused, which is, I don't need them. I mean, who right. cares what they do? I know what I'm going to do. I know who I am. And so that's fine. The others are worried that without an organization like the National Rifle Association, that they will see an erosion of what they consider to be their gun rights. And those are the folks I want to hear from. What is it that worries you?
Yeah. Is that a valid fear? Some mm-hmm. people just automatically, and I get it, are like, we're going to have to turn in our guns without the NRA. Well, that's not true.
No.
Because it would take a constitutional convention to remove the Second Amendment from the Constitution. No yeah. one's taking your guns. But what did, to John's question, what are you genuinely worried about? What did the NRA genuinely and their lobbying genuinely protect?
Right. And the other thing you have to remember is that the NRA was a very powerful lobbying group because they gave a whole bunch of campaign donations. But those mm-hmm. politicians that they gave those campaign donations to, they're not going anywhere either. I mean, that protection and in some cases, very vehement protection of the Second mm-hmm. Amendment of, very specific pieces of gun legislation to protect the ability of the average person to buy whatever they want in terms of firearms. Those politicians are still going to be there. So whether they're getting money from the NRA
this.
Or not.
What did those politicians that the NRA donated money to do while in office in order to further protect your gun rights that the Second Amendment wasn't already doing? Because I feel like the movement has been since, let's say, Sandy Hook, the movement has been if there's gun legislation, it's state level, not federal, usually, and it's to not erode your Second Amendment rights, but to crack down a little bit on what guns are out there, gun thefts, age in which to get them. You know, it seems to be going in the opposite direction. So I don't know if the NRA has been accomplishing what it set out to do anyway.
Yeah, good point.
So we can take more of your calls and your texts. We'll go to news here and then get more of your comments coming up. Again, the Attorney General for the state of New York has filed a lawsuit after an 18-month investigation with the goal of dissolving the National Rifle Association. We'll get to more of your calls and your comments coming up. Right now, 1129 on KMBZ. Back with you here on a Wednesday. Today's Thursday?
Yep,
today's Thursday. It's 11:33 in the morning on Thursday. It has gotten no easier to keep track than it used to be. 11:33 here on a Thursday on KMBZ. We are getting a lot of responses on our text line, and if you want to call 576-7798. With the possibility of the National Rifle Association going away, what would the new, you would assume at some point there will be something that replaces it. There will be some kind of gun lobbying organization that replaces it at some point. I suspect it'll be much smaller because it won't have the money that this one did. What do you need from that organization? If you are a gun owner, what are you most worried about if the NRA goes away? It comes today because the Attorney General for the state of New York has filed a lawsuit after an 18-month investigation alleging all kinds of things when it comes to the misuse of money and seeking to completely dissolve the NRA.
Yeah, and a lot of these fights are ongoing and have been. I mean, it didn't stop in the late 80s and early 90s. There have been these battles back and forth. And, of course, I mean, there was the assault weapons ban in 1983 and the backlash to that in the 1994 election. And, I mean, everybody knows the history behind all of that. And the NRA was directly involved in that, as they had taken that on as their purview. So is there still that worry that without an organization like the NRA around, if, and again, this is presuming New York is successful in this, by the way,
right?
And that's still a major
right.
leap. All they did was announce that this lawsuit is going to happen. And they mm-hmm. say they've got the, you know, the information to back it all up. But if they're successful in demolishing and just taking the NRA apart, Is the worry then that there's going to be that kind of power vacuum, that the politicians that were on the NRA's side to begin with no longer will be?
Right. And oh, so the frustrating thing about this that, you know, you kind of knew was coming is the people that are saying, well, they're going to take away my Second Amendment right. No. Again, that's not as easy as you fear it is mm-hmm. to take the Second Amendment out of the Constitution. Not that simple and never going to happen. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine a scenario in which that is a reality.
The only way to negate a constitutional amendment is to pass another constitutional amendment. And in the entire right. history of the United States, that's only happened once.
Correct. Right. So it's not going to happen. Now, are laws maybe going to change that make it more difficult for you to get a gun? Maybe, you know, make you have to get training to get a gun. Maybe change some of the permitting. Maybe put more restrictions on it. Maybe. But I think we can acknowledge that as long as you're a good gun owner who doesn't have a history, a criminal history that would prevent you from it, who is using it as protection and not to commit a crime, what's wrong with some of that legislation?
Yeah. And the other thing to remember about this is the way this is all stacking up. The state of New York isn't going after the NRA because they're saying NRA bad. They're going after the right. NRA because they're saying that the guys who have been running the NRA are criminals. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that they've committed fraud and they've stolen money and they've done all of these things. So, I mean, that's the idea that, you know, if the NRA goes away, it will leave a vacuum. Well, nature abhors a vacuum. What happens then? Somebody starts right. the new organization, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that will have maybe not exactly the same, but many of the same concerns and lobbying efforts that the NRA did.
Yeah, and it will be a more transparent organization. You know, it'll be a much smaller organization mm-hmm. Because it just won't have the money. But there will, and again, we need to keep pointing out, this is assuming that the state of New York wins its lawsuit.
Yeah, that's not guaranteed, not by any means.
18-month investigation that you waited until now to file the lawsuit. I mean, you've got proof of what, you know, it comes down to what you can prove. What will be fascinating to me is the criminal side. Can you prove criminal allegations that would have leadership going to prison?
Yeah.
That, because I want to see that trial. Don't you want to see a trial on one side of the civil or criminal? Like, I want to see the evidence. I want to know how it came to light. And the first investigator that got a hold of some evidence and said, whoa, look what I've got here.
And even more than that, the story behind it. We're talking is, you know, again, we keep going back to Wayne LaPierre because he's been the very public face of this organization for a long time. He's not the only one that's named in this suit. And again, up until now, there's no talk of criminal charges at all. That's just us saying, okay, they seem to be laying out a case here that would, you know, that could conceivably lead to that, because they're talking about a lawsuit against an organization because of what amounts to criminal behavior by its board or members of its board. So again, there's a lot of pieces that have to fall into place. But if Wayne LaPierre did these things, When did it start? He's been there for 30 years. Is this the kind of thing that, there was this trip that happened back in 1995 and he kind of got away with that one. And then a few years later he did this. And then after a while, just got rid of everybody that opposed him or anybody that would blow the whistle on him and said, okay, all right, whatever money I want to take out of this organization, it's mine now.
And how long did this go on?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of what we've seen is that this went on for a long time. And yeah, the allegation, this will be fascinating too, the allegation that, you know, whistleblowers were retaliated against. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has got the makings of
a movie of the week.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are lining up some callers here, 576-7798. Again, we're curious to know, particularly from you gun owners and Second Amendment proponents, with the potential of the NRA going away, do you have any fears? And what does the new organization, because there will no doubt be one at some point, what does the new one need to look like? Do you like that there was a lobbying organization with the kind of financial power that the NRA had? Although, you know, they were running into legal trouble here in the past. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Wellington first and get Tim on the line with us. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking me.
You bet. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been an NRA member for my whole life. I'm an avid hunter, fisherman, and I've got a lot of guns. You know, I've got a lot of ammo, and I always have had.
Sure.
And I've always supported the NRA. And the problem to me that's happened with the NRA in the last decade or so is the fact that anything to do with any gun restrictions, they oppose it. You know, like a 3-day waiting period or anything. And it's so black and white with them that the last time my dues came, I didn't pay them. I'm not a member now, and it's probably the first time in 40 years I haven't been. And it's simply because there are some things in some gun restrictions, you know, we've got a gun problem in this country. There's no doubt about that. And losing the NRA saying they're going to take your guns and all this stuff, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. That's kind of a bell that you can't unring. You know, the guns are out there, and they can never have enough strength to come to everybody's house and take their guns. You know, I mean,
And politically, politically, the will's not there anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. What you're saying is true. Okay, so crystal ball this. If New York is successful and the NRA is dissolved, what does it mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything to me because...
Because you're not a member anymore.
I'm an older guy now, and I've got every gun I need to hunt, everything I need to hunt. I've got my target guns, all that kind of stuff, and I don't, I haven't bought a gun in about 5 years, so I'm just saying it really doesn't mean anything to me because I really don't think, I think they used to, like you just said on the radio, you know, it's the fact that when they had all the lobbying power and they were there, I do think they were protecting our rights a lot, but I don't really think they are anymore. It's just got to anything that anybody says about guns, they're against it, and I just don't agree with that. I think there should be a 3-day waiting period. I'm okay with a 2-week waiting period, you know, and they need it. It needs to be attached to mental illness, you know, and it's just there's got to be some gray area there and some common sense, and there's none involved when it comes to the NRA. There's no common sense. Okay. It's like, oh no, there can't be any waiting period. If you want to go in and buy a handgun and ammunition, you know, and go shoot somebody, come on in and do it, you know, and There needs to be a waiting period. There needs to be an extremely good background check that attaches to mental illness. And there's just, NRA just doesn't want it.
Okay. All right. Well, Tim, thank you very much. Appreciate the insight.
Tim, good call.
All right. Thank you.
How about
Thanks
very Chris
much for the comments?
Absolutely. Yeah. How about Chris in Kansas City next? Hey, Chris.
Well, he kind of stole my thunder. I love
That's
your
okay.
guys' show.
Keep going.
Every day. But I supported the NRA for 20 years, have donated a ton of money. But about 2 to 3 years ago, they started sending a bunch of fear-mongering stuff. Kind of went off the deep end on their literature. I have not supported them the last 3 years. I've stopped paying my dues, just like the last gentleman. I'm for restrictions and all that and stuff to be put in place. But the last couple of years that I was getting literature from them, they were just fear-mongering how – I mean, they preyed on those that believe the Second Amendment's just going to go away, which I firmly believe it never will. And if it does, it'll be not in my lifetime. But they preyed on that. I mean, a lot of their literature just said, you know, if you don't support us, if you don't pay your dues, we can't keep up the fight. They will take your guns. I mean, it's just feeding the base that believes that they're going to come knocking on your door, and they're not going to do that.
No. Well, you know, nothing raises donations like scaring people. So, yeah, it's interesting that that's come up 2 times in a row. Thank you, man. Appreciate you getting in.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You got it.
Thanks for the call.
I wonder, and for those of you who are in that same boat, and I want to forestall something here. Jason Katz, grab the microphone for a second, if you would, sir. Because it's even a little bit odd to me that we should hear that same sentiment over and over again. Have you kept anybody off the air this morning?
I have not.
Okay, thank you.
Do you ever keep anyone off here?
No. And to this point, because this actually came up yesterday with one of our conversations, that sometimes it just happens that we, for one reason or another, with timing issues, we aren't able to get every single person that I'm able to vet on the air. It's not because we do not want to get every single opinion on the air, because look, if some person has one opinion out there, there's probably more than that, just that one person that has that same exact opinion.
Yeah.
So it is not because we don't want to get as many people in as possible. It's just simply we don't have enough time in our show with everything that we have to do, you know, with obligations, that it's just not that possible at the
you
end
got
of the
it.
Day.
It happened yesterday. Yes.
Yeah,
here, we know if there are other callers. Yesterday, we had to go to news at the top of the hour. We had talked about a topic for an hour, and I'm going to warn you right now, we're going to end this conversation with news at noon. So if anybody else wants to get in, I know we've got two of you on hold. We'll get your calls coming up.
And to be perfectly clear about that, by the way, I wasn't accusing Jason. I knew the answer before I asked him. I just wanted him to say it.
Well,
on the air.
It sure sounded like it, John. Yeah. Jeez, that.
How come
that,
you're keeping all the real NRA guys?
That tone in your voice, man.
You got it,
so
brother.
If you're on hold, we'll get to you coming up. We'll get as many calls in as we can before we go to news at noon. It's 11:46 here on KMBZ. It's 11:52. We will do our best to get as many callers on before the noon news as we can. We're going to move on at noon. We'll go to Gower first and get Wesley on the line with us. Hi, Wesley. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Can you hear me all right?
Hear you great. What's going on?
Perfect.
Well, I think I'm a little bit more extreme than some of the other callers. I don't think the NRA has been doing enough, and I think the information that Wayne LaFiere has been, you know, spending too much money on whatever he wants, it's been out for, I first started hearing about it probably a year ago, and I don't know what you guys are reading with public information or not at that time, but I don't think they do enough. There's some other organizations like FP, is a federal firearm, or
Now you're breaking up. Yeah, now you're breaking up. Who?
Firearm policy.
No. We're just having a hard time here with the connection.
Yeah, sounds like you're going through a rough
patch. Wesley.
But yeah, Wesley, thanks
for
the call.
Feel free to call back.
What he was saying is that there are other gun organizations out there, gun rights organizations out there. I'm not familiar with them, but that goes to show, again, over time, the power and the money that the NRA's had at their disposal.
Let's go to Lake of the Ozarks next, and we'll talk to Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Well, I was listening to this, and, you know, we often forgotten how the NRA has done good, and Sandy Hook was a prime example. There would have been a knee-jerk reaction out of a lot of legislators to pull every AR-15 out of America, or, you know, try and do a buyback or whatever. But you know, the NRA was able to flex their muscle, buy some time, so people didn't just have a knee-jerk reaction to an incident that, granted, was unfortunate. But we have, that's the only organization that has horsepower to help defend our Second Amendment rights. I have a brother that lives in California that he goes through all this restrictions and the cost of ammo and how hard it is to get a concealed carry weapons permit and stuff. And they have crime issues and stuff out there that a lot of homeowners don't have the ability to defend themselves because it's too costly to have guns and the hurdles of getting ammunition and the cost of them.
So what do you think will happen if the NRA goes away? What's the fear?
There's another organization that I've supported in the past, National Shooting Sports Foundation, and for all I know, that may have ties to the NRA also, but anyhow, that's an organization that seems to do good, and back to the basics of, you know, teaching gun safety and getting kids out shooting and, you know, just enjoying the outdoors. So there will be somebody else that will step up, but there's a lot of other organizations that have mismanagement at corporate levels and chairmen and all that that have not been dissolved, that probably needed to be dissolved. But I really think this is an attempt at maybe trying to pull back the conservative power and, you know, and maybe make the liberals have more of an option going forward, and you don't have the dollars coming in to help sway an election.
All right. Well, there are other guys out there that are doing it. Wesley, thanks for the call.
That was Charlie, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie.
That was Charlie. Yeah. All right, let's get one more call on here before we go to news at noon. That is all we have time for, so we'll go to Baser next and talk to Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Appreciate
you. Doing great.
Good.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Yeah, I kind of agree with the last caller. You know, I was very supportive of the NRA early in my life. You know, they used to do a lot of hunter safety programs, gun safety programs, provided a lot of opportunity for young people to get involved in competitive shooting. They even, you know, did a lot of scholarships and things like that. And it seems like over the years they've gotten so big that a lot of their fundraising is more focused on supporting their internal organization in terms of paying salaries and things like that, where very little of that money really goes to doing good things. You know, I'm a military. I've been in 32 years. I'm getting ready to retire. And I've also supported, you know, things like Wounded Warrior, but just like, you know, Wounded Warrior got so big that so much of the money that you donated went to paying overhead and salaries versus supporting veterans and Wounded Warriors, much like the NRA. They've just gotten so big that the money, you know, that you donate goes to very little of the things you want them to support. You know, I get the, you know, the Second Amendment stuff, but I think that's more fear-mongering than anything.
Well, yeah, and see, I'm with you. I think the one thing that I've given the NRA credit for over the years that they've done, I think, better than anybody else has been child gun safety programs, and that is vital. And if they do go away, that's something that I would fear, that somebody wouldn't necessarily pick up the mantle as well as they've done it.
Yeah, and along with competitive shooting opportunities, there's a lot of young shooters out there that depend on that type of profession, and I think that'll be hurt. I think that the scholarships will be hurt. I think a lot of the safety programs will be hurt. If they just get back to basics and kind of cut out some of the fat, I think they'd do much better, and I think people would be much more receptive to them.
All right, well, we'll see how they fare through all this. We'll keep you posted.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for the telephone call.
Thanks a lot for the call. Thanks, everybody, who weighed in. Sometimes gun conversations go a little off the rails, so thanks to everybody who kept this one very much on the tracks. We appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.